I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say him. And yours was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Roy.
You say God,
give me a choice.
Say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
All I wanna do is
Due to some technical difficulties here on the studio, I am now on live. I was wondering why I was talking to myself. You've tuned in to Bike Sport Radio out of beautiful downtown LA. Sorry about all the delay and dead air. We had some issues here. Anyways, I'm back. I'm on live and I'm ready to go. So, beautiful sunny Southern California is experiencing some weather today, so hopefully if you are hearing and you are out there, keep an eye out on the clouds in the sky. Apparently there's pretty severe thunderstorms roaming around. We could get a couple here in the city. We'll see. Probably later tonight. Get your riding in before it gets too crazy out there. Hopefully this weekend we get some weather. So yeah, El Nino's in the air, and it's going to play havoc, I think, with a lot of our promoters of cross and mountain bike for the winter season here. We've got the Turn and Burn 6 hour coming up. We got cross pretty much every weekend. We've got the Girls Gone Riding event this Sunday. For all you ladies out there, if you're not registered, you might want to check to see if there's any spaces in there. Good chance to come out for some mountain bike riding. Lots of demo bikes out there to be had and seen and played with. Lots of rides, skills clinics, the whole nine yards. So you can find out some stuff on that from the GGR website, Girls Gone Riding, and see what's going on there. That'll be Sunday. Cyclocross is also on Sunday out in Prado Dam. And if you need some upgrade points for you USA Cycling riders, that's probably a good way to go grab yourself some points. Then, like I said, there's a pre-ride Saturday morning for the Glendora Turn and Burn 6 hour. And I believe that's at 7:30 Saturday out at Bonelli Park. So take a look at that. Go on to a Cycle Events Company or his Facebook page. Get more info on it there. Two laps. First lap at 7:30, second lap at 9. Meet near the Picnic Valley at Bonelli Park. So, you guys know the routine. People who've raced there, you can get out more event, more information at cycleeventscompany.com. You can register at Bike Reg. So, this last week, and I actually went and competed in their XC grind, the Glendora XC grind, and it was just brutally hot. I was actually against doctor's orders. I wasn't supposed to be on a bike, but I decided, oh, I need a couple of training miles, so why not, right? Fun event, great course, short but tough, and the heat definitely made it harder. So good turnout, and it was nice to see Omar and company out there doing good and bringing the event back. So got those results here in front of me, actually, so go ahead and go through a couple of them. Excellent men, 34 and under, had to do 5 laps in the heat. They were short laps, but let me tell you, there was a lot of climbing in them. So nothing extraordinarily hard, just, you know, came at you quick and punchy. So taking the win in the expert men 34 and under was Matthew Golden from Triple Threat. Taking the win, expert man 35-49, Scott Harvey from Impact Racing. And expert man 50-59 was Alex Tenno from Stonehouse Trek. And then expert man 60+, David Ortega from Calcoast Bicycles. In the Sport Cat 2 Sport Men category, Brent Clement, the men 18-29. Juan Ramon Martinez took the Sportman 30-39 category. And Sportman 40-49, Chuck Anderson. And that's probably what I think that was one of the biggest classes. Of course, 40-49, the biggest class out there as always. Sportman 50-59, my good friend Todd Hunsaker. Finally, he's been working hard. He got his win. Close one, too, it looks like. Sportman 60 plus was won by Ken Marshall. He's one of the high school coaches, so out there riding with his kids. In the sport women 34 and under category, we had Megan Jastrub, C. Vela, Monster Media. Single speed open was won by Jeff Wolf, and same thing, another close race there. At a Clydesdale, 200 plus pounds, that was won by Paul Shank from the Squeaky Wheel Bike Shop. Elementary school, and that's one thing I like about this promoter is in these events, they have elementary, junior high, and high school classes. Not classes, but divisions. So you can get the little guys out there, and they race only against themselves. So elementary school was won by Angelica Lane, Cyclery Bike Shop. Junior high school was won by William Wolf. I think that looks right. And high school was won by Alexander Kuntz. Beginner men 18 to 29 was won by Timothy Peavier. Hope I said that right. Sorry. Beginner men 30 to 39, Jordi Requejo. Beginner men 40 to 49 is Jason Findahi. And beginner men 50 to 59 was Ken Harkness. And 60 plus, we had two. Gary Churchill, beginner women 34 and under, Kim Cuevas, beginner women 35 plus was won by Michelle Marie McClure. So great racing, lots of fun. Kind of goes back to the old school of racing, you know, the event where high end professional production. But actually, they put on one heck of a show. Lots of support, lots of water. A lot of volunteers, so big. During the race, I was watching people carry water up the hill to the water station. So, as a racer, I appreciate it, and I know everybody else did that too. So, what's going on? Our inner bike show. And today we're going to actually have a special interview. By luck, as I mentioned in our previous shows, that we were talking about a lot of technology that was popping up at Interbike. And some of it was getting rid of some old technology and bringing technology in from other fields. And I've got an interview with one of the CEOs of a company that's really involved in other areas. Brought it into ours. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But before we get there, let's go ahead and look at some events coming up just to make sure we're all good and covered for the month of October. Let's see here. Knobby Time and SoCal Cross, Velocity Cross in Chino on Sunday. Turn and Burn, 6-hour marathon, the 24th of October at Bonelli Park. And we got the infamous Spooky Cross. SoCal Cross Spooky Cross will be at Silverado, Irvine Lake, over in Silverado. Basically, Irvine Lake, we know where that is. The home of the name of the event. The midweek mountain bike series we had out there. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. It'll come to me in a second, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that was it. But, Irvine Lake, we'll have Spooky Cross. And then on the 31st, a couple of events coming up that'll be really fun. One of which is the Filthy 50 MTB Ride with Benefits. Sound of that. That's going to be down in Escondido. It'll be a really fun event. They also can put on one heck of an event down there, the Quick and Dirty Series. So October 31st, very family-friendly event. They have a kids area, great feed stations. They have a 50-mile course, and for those who are not quite up to 50 miles in the dirt, there's a 30-mile course. Be careful with this one, though. There is a rider limit, 250 riders, and it will sell out. It usually does. So keep an eye on that. Race starts at 8:30, and registration starts at 7. So, and I think it's a little getting a little froggy down here. It's something with this weather. Actually, we got a new air conditioner in the QL Radio studio, so thanks to the donations, we were able to cool us off in here so we're not dying. It's also drying the air out, so we're going to have some new radio voices. Just kidding. Okay, and going into November, we have the Fat Tire Classic in Walnut, which is part of the Cycle Events Productions, Triple Crown of Mountain Bike Series. So that's that whole series put on by Omar and company there. So it's fun little series, changed it up, threw a 6-hour in there. Something to do in the winter just to keep going if you're not in the cyclocross. So we're trying to get a couple converts over on our team, but it's tough to think about riding a bike and then picking it up and throwing it on your shoulders. Yeah, I know. It's tough. Why am I going to carry a perfectly good bicycle, right? Then in early November, actually November 7th, we have the 6-hour and 12 hours of Temecula. So check out SoCal Endurance for more information on that event. It is the final event of the 3-race series, so you wanna go and dabble in it and get yourself ready for next year. By all means, go check it out. It should be a fun, challenging course, and it's November in Temecula, so who knows what you're gonna race in. Could be hot as Hades, or it could be super cold, it could be raining, it could be thunder, we don't know. It's always a challenge out there. So if you're up for a real good challenge and you're up for something different, go out, give the 6 and 12 hour a try. You could do solo or do it in a team, it's your choice. That same weekend we have the SoCal Cross ANZA race out in Riverside, followed by the following weekend of, if that looks right, like San Luis Obispo. So SLO Cross up in San Luis Obispo. And then November 14th, the Santa Barbara Endurance Race Series, the 100K and 50K MTB races up near Santa Barbara. So now let's take a look at, and keep your calendars open for November 20th through the 22nd there that weekend. It's going to be a UCI CXLA UCI sanction, UCI level cross racers come to town. So get some good racing when that happens. So they'll be at Griffin Park. The only time bicycles are allowed on the dirt trails in Griffin Park, legally. I know. I'm not going to say any more than that. There may be people of power listening. And then probably the most fun event of the whole SoCal Cross series, the Turkey Trot out in Glendale. By far one of our biggest turnout events, and the team I ride for is actually hosting. So Team Montrose will be hosting the event, and it's one of the best events out there. Now, I'm not being biased because it was the best event before I was on the team. Lots of fun for the family, great course. Hopefully we get some really fun weather like we did last year. I think it rained on us. So that would be the 29th of November, right around the Thanksgiving holiday. So need to burn off that turkey, back into that skin suit. So that is our cross and mountain bike stuff. Let's see what we got for some fun rides. Oh, yeah. No, this day would kill me if I didn't mention this. Good friend John Morlock has an event. Let me make sure I have it. There it is. October 31st, the Big Orange Classic Ride to Recovery is going to take place. And we have different rides there. It's a road bike for you. Different events. Check out the BigOrangeClassic.com for information on this. And different courses. We got 26, 58, and 73 miles. And got a couple of grinder sections in there. The 58 and 73 have some optional dirt sections. So if you want to take your grinder bike out, have some fun. We got the third annual Patriot Ride for our heroes out in Indio. And that's on the 23rd and 24th of October. This weekend we got Bike MS Bay to Bay Tour, Irvine to San Diego. Still be able to get in on that. The YSC Tour to Pink and out in Santa Barbara is also the 23rd and 25th. Operation Ride for Red, Service to Armed Forces. Redcross.org is having an event November 7th in Camarillo. Oh, yeah, duh. I know what I'm forgetting, and I'm here in L.A. Hello. Ciclavia. Once again, cause havoc in the streets of L.A., right? Well, according to all the drivers. Ciclavia takes place this Sunday. Now, for those unfamiliar with Ciclavia, which you may be, we actually take a part of L.A., some L.A. city streets and certain segments, and we close them off. And we're able to ride our bikes or skateboard or roller skate or walk or do whatever we want to do on foot. It's all ours. This Ciclavia is called the Heart of L.A. It's a 6-mile leg. And they're very like hard to describe the actual like ways. So the best thing to do really is go to ciclavia.org, take a look at the map, use Metro to get there if possible. You know, just jump on it, take your bike or walk and check it out. It's a great way to bring attention to the city and that area. It looks like it's going from MacArthur Park. We have a hub in MacArthur Park, a hub in Grand Park, Hollenbeck, and Chinatown. So it looks like it's going to be a nice little fun romp through downtown L.A. So that'd be kind of fun. I'm already sadly committed to another event, which kind of ruins it. But Ciclavias are fun. It's just awesome to see people on every kind of bike imaginable, some homemade creations, kids. You know, the last Ciclavia I did it with my son, 6-year-old boy, and my daughter and wife, and we just cruised on down. And it was really cool to have a place where my son could ride down the middle of the street and not worry about getting hit by a car. We had to worry about getting hit by other riders, but that wasn't so bad, you know. Everybody's getting a little, they realize, hey, this is not a race. We're just riding through downtown L.A. And, you know, you're always going to get Joe Ricky Racer. But for the most part, it's families and people just chilling and enjoying a beautiful day on the bicycle. So take a look at that, ciclavia.org, for more information. So now let's get to the Interbike Show. Actually, before we do that, Interbike is really cool because I get to do a lot of, I mean, you get to see some really cool stuff, and it's neat. I mean, there's stuff that you see or you hear about, and then you never see it or you know, you never find it. It's only certain people buy it, carry it. And one of the things that's very cool about Interbike, especially when you're part of media, get a chance to sample. And everyone's all like, oh, that's the coolest job ever, you know. But one of the problems with that is then everybody starts thinking, oh, wait, you know, of course you're going to like it because they gave it to you. And that's not true here. A lot of the stuff that I've tested over the years here on Bike Sport, I've bought, paid for, and used. And sometimes these are items that are just off, like, the beaten path that people don't know about. They don't sell because it's not advertised. So I always try to find that thing that's not advertised. So, and then the other thing I do is I try to look for crossover items that would be beneficial. So two of the things we're going to really talk about, and as I mentioned, this show this year was just full of new technology, all electronics. I mean, it was a lot of mechanical stuff that we all see. We've seen it. We know about it. We've heard about it. We've seen the pictures. We've drooled over it, and it's starting to make its way You know, the new XT11 speed, Shimano XT11 speed. You know what? They got millions of dollars. They can advertise all they want and pay whoever they want to do whatever they want. We already know it's going to work. So why, right? And it does. As a matter of fact, somebody I know just bought the new XT brakes. I think they say they're better than the XTR brakes. So, and that's a person who has both. So it's just a given. We can let them do their thing. But I look for those other things. I look for those other items. So today's we're going to talk about all the technology stuff that we've seen at the show. Now, last time we were on, which was a couple weeks ago, we talked about some bikes and various little products here and there. Today I want to concentrate more on the technology aspect of the show. And I spoke with the founder of, or the CEO of LifeBeam. And his name was Omri. And we'll have the interview up in a second here, but just give you a little heads up on him. And originally, you know, you think, oh, you're going to talk to a guy who's read a marketing plan and he's going to read to you exactly what the marketing plan is. But 2 seconds on the phone with him, I realized that this guy is not just about marketing business. He actually knows the technology. And I'm starting with this for a reason. The technology he's talking about was one that I've seen everywhere. So it was everywhere I saw around that show. So I figure, you know what? Let's talk to him about this first. He's going to give us a little bit of feedback, and I'll talk to him, and I'll fill you in on some of the stuff that we're going to do with this information that he's given us. Anyways, it's Omri and myself.
You're all mine. Okay, Omri. Okay. And Omri is the creator of the LifeBeam helmet. Now, I saw this at Interbike about a week or so ago, and I was thoroughly impressed with this. It was leaked around the internet. People were talking about it, and started seeing it, so I had to hunt it down at the show and talk to one of your reps there with the helmet. I got to put my hands on it. Definitely an interesting piece of technology, which the show was full of this year. Definitely in the hunt there with all the technology that was being brought out, but this one really stood out. And one of my biggest things is I like the fact that you're using the helmet to be kind of like the center of all information here, which I guess, you know, your head technically is the center of all information to your body. Well, now it's all information to your devices to track your health. Am I right in that assumption there, in that saying?
Yes. First of all, thanks for having us. And just to build on what you said in the beginning, I have definitely not me the creator, but an awesome team that works with us at LifeBeam. I have another very capable and impressive guy, which is the co-founder guy named Zvika Aron, and these are the guys that deserve the compliment. So the answer is yes. We come, other than just the helmet itself, we come with a very, I would say, solid and comprehensive vision about the wearable domain and the fitness and cycling, running domains specifically, of what we call actionable human insight. In very short, it means the ability to, number one, integrate biometrics into wearables. In this case, we're talking about the cycling helmet. And number two, the ability to send what we call actionable human insight, so information that is relevant into either your phone or your watch in order to train in a better, seamless, and non-intrusive way.
Okay. And one thing, like I said, in layman's term, everybody, this is a way to get rid of that constricting chest strap on your body. It's basically what it's doing is it's taking that chest strap, moving it off your chest, and putting the sensors up into your head. And that's my question. Why the head? Why not a wrist bracelet like I've seen or other device? Why did you decide to go with the optics at the head? I guess is my question.
Sure. So number one, you're very right. One of the main pain points was the people that are, you know, wearing chest belts because they're very accurate. They're very people who are well educated. This is your benchmark to extract accurate heart rate during running or cycling. And you're very right. This was the main pain point to take care of. The reason we went for the head is actually quite interesting because the company didn't start from cycling helmets. The company started from measuring fighter pilots and special forces. And the first form factor that we worked with were helmets. And the head, as you can probably imagine, is one of the most interesting resources in our body, like the chest, in terms of blood flow and physiology. This is a very rich, solid place to extract biometrics from. And after doing it from the head, we're already doing it from over 6 watches, earbuds, more. The helmet was the easiest, as we say, to go from the aerospace domain into the consumer.
So for tooling wise, so the data, this is the same technology they use in astronauts, fighter pilots to monitor. Makes sense. I mean, the technology is there now. It's crossed it over into the cycling industry. Definitely.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, I know, it works. It's accurate. Now, you're going to get these guys and these riders who are going to come out and say, oh, that's not going to work because I wear a do-rag or a headband or
yeah.
I wear anything like that. Have there been adjustments made so that it can still be used with that? Is there a decline in information quality and accuracy, or has that been, thought about as well in with this technology, or is it still?
So this is why I started with our bigger vision, because our goal is not to gauge a specific form factor and not to look at our body and our consumer in a more holistic way. So to answer your question, the answer is no, but it's an intentionally no, because we are engaging people or consumers that are wearing helmets with which are no, let's call it, unique or specific scenarios. And based on the research we've done, most people do not wear something under the helmet unless it's, as you know better than me, if you go in winter or sweat management, there are some tools to manage. And in those cases, if it's not convenient enough, you can use our LifeBeam-powered watches or earbuds for other brands we work with. But if you are a cycling lover that likes to wear either a mountain bike or a road helmet, you have a very seamless and non-intrusive experience to be extracted from your forehead. If you are putting bandanas or other sweat management accessories, it's less relevant.
Okay, so that's something that, here in Southern California, we're based out of Southern California, and it's always, 90, 80 degrees, pretty much year-round.
Yep.
So that's something that, we do, a lot of people do wear. Now, me personally, I don't. I think I get hotter with something between my head and the helmet. I like, allowing the technology of the helmet ventilation actually do its job, which is disperse the heat and the energy off the head.
Just to build on that one, what we did, we understood that sweat, in terms of the flow itself of the sweat on your forehead, one of the things we invested a lot is to make sure that the very specific gel band we built together with Laser Sports, we didn't mention, but these are really innovative and awesome partners that was with us in the beginning of this product. So together we created not only a gel band that can incorporate the sensing module inside, but also manage and transmit the sweat into the two external parts, to the two sides. And you can see some product reviews on the web, and you will see that people are very happy also in a very sweaty and high humidity areas as well.
Yeah, and that's what we want to get out here. My goal is to get this out. And yeah, I did forget to mention, LifeBeam is working with Laser Helmets. Laser Helmets has got the LifeBeam technology integrated into the helmets currently. Now, a lot, like I said, one of the things that a lot of people are going to say is, oh, my gosh, it's a fairly good price helmet. Just looking it up online right now, they're selling, listed at $229, which is what's your head worth. It's my philosophy.
Yeah.
I pay for good quality helmets. I believe in quality helmets. Having suffered brain trauma in the past, I know that it's something not to play with. But this is not an issue, Chris. But you've always got people who will say, oh, well, you know, what happens when if I take it out? Oh, for example, a friend of mine who she bought a brand new helmet, a nice, you know, high-end, comfortable helmet, loved the helmet, first ride on the helmet. She just pulverized the helmet. I mean, she had a crash, helmet did its job, but it destroyed. And so, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say, like, you know, oh, well, can I transfer my stuff? And the answer to that is I heard that it was being worked on.
Correct. And not only worked on it, it basically was solved. This is the place to, because we already announced it. I just came back from Eurobike in Germany and also at Interbike in the U.S. We just announced it to the press and to our partners. Long story short, we started from a designated, let's call it standalone model, exactly as you just mentioned. It is embedded in the system, but based on the high demand and traction that the product got in the last year, we invested additional resources together with Laser, and what we created is basically a DIY kit. And today, we offer most of the best sellers of Laser, if we're talking about the high and low end of the both mountain bike and road helmet, you can just buy one time the Lightbeam gear, as we call it. It's a kit that you are able to immigrate between the different helmets. And if something happens or you just buy a new helmet, you can just plug it in into the new.
Okay, that's great. That's excellent news. Like I said, when I was at Interbike, I talked to one of the Laser reps, and they gave me quite a bit of information on helmet. It's definitely it's a great product. I love the helmet. I love looking at it. But there's just the technology behind it was really what had my interest piqued. Is this, you know, transferable?
Thank you.
And I definitely saw that. And I mean, that's all I concentrated on this show was the amount of technology that was being introduced and where it's going.
Yeah.
It's just you guys are right on that line of the leading edge, which is because now I can see how this is going to be, you know, several, I don't know if you made it to the show or not, but several other manufacturers are making heads up eyewear that's using
the
technology. So this is something too that can go into their heads up displays and vice versa. So I mean, I definitely see this great tool, great ways to train and keep track of your body for, I mean, not only the pro athlete, but just, you know, the average Joe who's trying to lose a few pounds here and there. I mean, it's just a nice way to be able to track all that.
I agree with you. And I think that the most critical thing that we are, I would say, almost obsessed on is not to ask ourselves what type of cool technology or additional features we can create. But, you know, most of us are either running, cycling, swimming, you know the team, you'll understand that we're coming from a consumer perspective and user perspective, and our real passion and real long-term vision is to ask ourselves what people need and want and how can we provide those passions and desires in a non-intrusive way, that they will not need to buy designated tech or designated, you know, add-on devices and lots of pricey, heavy tech. And when we look at the consumer, exactly as you said, a helmet is one of them, but you can go to heads-up display eyewear, you can go to earbuds, you can go to clothing as time will go, and it will be a bit more mature for the smart textile part. And our vision is to keep being ahead of the curve and being able to implement the same stuff. It's the same value you provide to the user, but via different types of wearable form factors. And we are really, lucky to be there at this specific point.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I was looking on the Lightbeam page, the Lightbeam.com website right now. Now, you're saying that the technology is also integratable. Am I looking at this correctly, that it's also integratable into soft headwear as well, like hats and visors as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So what you will see over there and over here, we'll need to be a bit more careful because some of the things will be released only at this CES.
Okay.
But you're definitely right. One thing that you will see over there are smart hats. Actually, the first time in the market that the company did a washable, wearable integration between textile and optical sensors. So the hat is a killer as well, being ordered in 50 different countries, and people are just, it's another good replacement for people that likes running hats with the quality that they're transmitting the same biometrics to your watch or phone. And some more, I would say, fascinating stuff to come, which are not only sports accessories, but also consumer electronics that are powered by Lifebeam, to be released very soon, actually. So stay tuned.
Wow, definitely looking forward to hearing more. Because I cycle and I run, and you know, my biggest issue when I run, and I can't stand it, is my heart, when I wear my heart rate strap running, it always falls. I'm just constantly readjusting that. So I was just looking at the smart hat right now going, oh, that's my perfect device for when I'm running. So I'm like, gosh, I'll be making some purchases here between the helmet and the hat.
Let's agree to do another objective discussion in 2 weeks after it has the hat. So it's from a different perspective, but it's even a more seamless, just super light and easy experience, and let's agree to discuss it after you test.
All right, that sounds great. I look forward to that. So anything else you want to let all the listeners know? Because this is going to go out. This, you know, we're having a conversation. We're talking about a great product. Anything you really want to pass on to the listener here? I mean, we've talked a lot about a lot of stuff there that's really just, this is rocket science in reality,
it's not rocket, it's just, you know, great team and people that are really passionate about what they do. Just to say thank you, really appreciate the time and the opportunity to share our vision and our more longer-term dreams, and we invite basically any... We have a great community of users and backers and you know, and just people that like fitness and well-being. And we invite anyone that is interested just to get an advice or to give us feedback or to ask for our help for some wearable solutions. We are here to stay and to bring as much as value we can to this market.
That is great. And that's what's so nice to hear, is that people actually care, you know. I mean, it's business, and, you know, everybody knows why people get into business, but every so often in business, you find those people that are there for the good and the good of all. So, Omri, I believe you're one of those people, and your team, keep it up. You guys are just amazing, and I can't wait to see what you come out. I can't wait to see what you come up with next. It sounds like I'm going to have to start really scouring the internet here to see where that shows up.
We'll keep you posted. We'll keep you posted. No worries.
All right, Omri. Well, thank you so much for your time, and you have a great, great evening.
Same here. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Cheers. Bye-bye.
So that was Omri from Lifebeam. Great guy. Great technology. I don't care what he says. There are a bunch of rocket scientists over there. Now, why do I play his interview? Because the technologies that are coming over into the cycling world are from other places now, and it's being transmitted over here. And not only was it found in the laser helmet, but it was found through a lot of different items there at the show. And they were basically his technology, and we kind of talked about it, but we really didn't talk about it. And one of which was, it's an optical reading device. It's a light. And it's hospital grade stuff, basically. It's what you use when you go into the hospital and they put that little sensor on you. It's testing your vital, or, you know, it's testing your either heart rate, or it's testing your temperature, or it's checking your oxygen. It's like a pulse oximeter. It's a little infrared light that is reading data off your body. Now you have the ability to have this on your body without needing to be in the hospital. I mean, the one thing we were looking at is, okay, we're using everything at the show. There was a lot of heads-up devices, things, glasses that had your computer there. And the object here is keep your eyes on the road, keep your eyes on your activity, not having to look down at your computer. we all say, oh, I never look at my computer, I never want to see this, or I don't look at this, I don't, you know. The reality is we do. We always take a glance at the computer real quick to see what we're doing, to see how it looks. And it's just, we want feedback. It's human nature to want feedback when it comes to activity. So I concentrated a lot this year because everybody seems to be really concentrating on knowing what their body's doing. I mean, there was the portable, the BSX lactate threshold test that you could meter using the same technology from LifeBeam to be able to test your lactate threshold. So it's there. It's being used. And this is, like I said, it came from other fields, and now we're seeing it in the cycling world. Now, is it unobtainable? No, it's not. And that's the best part. And that's what was so cool about talking to Omri, is that, yeah, he could charge whatever he wanted to on this stuff. Laser could have said, oh, yeah, we have this, and we're going to charge you so much. It's still an affordable helmet. It's still a good, very good price for the technologies involved. Yeah, the downside is, well, you've got fancy stuff built in this helmet. I go, I get hit, I get crashed. Now I got to dish out another set amount of money. Well, like I said, now they've made it so that you can remove it and replace it. And because the technology, unless you break the sensor, you're not going to need a new one. But then ideally, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen. So, but on the other hand, it's, you know, it's there now. They've got a do-it-yourself kit. You can install this in any helmet. Then the soft technology, the hat. It's like, that's a runner's dream. I can't run with a chest strap to check my heart rate. I can't stand it. Even on a bike, I was getting really tired. It gets hard to take that deep breath in when you're really suffering. So you always feel like you're constricted. Going away now, you have this technology where you don't need to wear that anymore. You don't need that chest strap anymore. You just put your helmet on, or you just wear your watch, or whatever it is. And that takes me into our next item. Yes, I did get samples of the laser helmet and the hat. Will I be putting them through the test? You bet. I'm going to go out and I'm going to use and abuse. I want to see how durable and how delicate these are. Now, because of the history, they come from special ops. They come from high G-force environments with fighter pilots and astronauts. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to break this thing. But we're going to find out, because I'm going to put both items through the test. I've got the helmet. I've got the hat. We're going to go. We're going to see how easy they are to sync up, how accurate they are, because I'm going to have a lot of different things measuring. So we're going to see how everything works. Hopefully we don't cross things, but you know, I know my body pretty well, so I know where I'm at. So I'm definitely looking forward to that technology. But now, on to my next interview, because this is basically along the same lines as the technology from LifeBeam. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it is the same technology. And this is from our friends over at Myo Sports. Now, you may have heard the name. It's actually Myo Global. And Myo Global makes a an activity tracker, line of watches, I guess is what I want to say. They are, this thing doesn't start without me. Sorry, it wants to start without me. Okay. So, they make a line of trackers. And once again, what do you think they got rid of? Exactly. They got rid of the heart strap. And how are they measuring your heart rate? How are they measuring your steps? How are they measuring all that? Well, all that technology is in one little place. Guess where it's going to be? Right on your wristwatch. Right on your wrist.
Okay, I am here with Ashley, and my Tech 2015 Interbike Tour is what I'm calling it this year. Anyways, she's here with Myo. I'm going to always slaughter the name. It's Myo Global, and they make a really nice line of heart rate
trackers, activity trackers, monitors. I'm going to let her do a better explanation because she's the pro at it. I'm just an amateur.
Yeah, so we have our line of continuous heart rate monitors here. EKG level accuracy, performance level tracking of your heart rate. Does that through optical sensors that are on the back of each band. And the goal here is to get rid of the chest strap and replace the chest strap with something that's more comfortable, easy to use. They're also all open platform, so you're able to connect with all of the apps and bike computers and things that you're already using, depending on the wristband that you pick. So we are able to link up to, you know, your Strava app and your Map My Ride and things like that, where you may already have data and history that you want to keep, but you're ready to get rid of that chest strap.
Yeah, I was just telling your one of your booth mates here about that. I said, now I know how the girls feel when they're riding and their bras start sliding down, because lately that's been happening with my chest strap. It's like after a ride, I start noticing that I'm reaching around and trying to grab it, and I'm all like, that's it, I got to get rid of this. So this looks like the perfect alternative. That, and sometimes the chest straps affect your breathing, you know, hard breathing and things like that. So definitely. Now, we're looking at the three, you said you got four here.
Yeah, three primarily is what we'll focus on. Yeah, so we have your Mio Link, your Mio Fuse, and our Alpha 2 over there. The Link is for the biker that has their, or cyclist that has their bike computer. They've got everything, but they want to get rid of their chest strap. It's our lower price point, $79 and U.S. dollars. And then they can link all that up with their system that they're already using and get the accurate heart rate monitoring. Then you go to our next one, which is the Fuse, which has all of that plus your daily activity tracking. So it's tracking your steps, your calories burned, your distance throughout the day. And then you can put it into workout mode, track your heart rate. All of that for across all the bands links to the app. The Fuse and the Link are our watches that are wristbands that have the Ant Plus technology feature, so they link up to the bike computers. Whereas the third one, our Alpha 2 that you've seen here, does not have that feature, so that's really a watch that might be a better fit for a runner, but does the continuous heart rate monitoring link to the app.
So for you cyclists like myself who do multi-sports, I do the hiking, I do the running, I do, you know, cycling, of course, and these are just perfect ways to do everything without, you know, with what you got, basically. You can use your Garmin, you can use your phone apps, you don't have to go buy anything else as a running tracker or hiking tracker or anything like that. Perfect add-on. If you want to look up more information on this, where can I find the info?
Yeah, you can find us at mioglobal.com, and they're all for sale there. Go and check us out. We got a couple new colors that we're excited about as well. So.
And one other thing I forgot to mention, because I asked this question, they are water resistant down to 30 meters, so you can use them in the pool as well. And thank you so much, Ashley, for your time.
Yeah, thanks for talking to me.
No problem.
All right, so kind of fuzzy here. All right, so yeah, the Mio. See, I told you I'm going to slaughter that. I told her, I said, I'm going to slaughter this every time. It's a Spanish word. I should be able to say it because I speak Spanish. Hablo español. Anyway, it's Mio Global. And I have been testing the Fuse. Okay, everybody, and I'm dead serious when I say this. You don't need the strap anymore. It's gone. It's done. It's over. This thing is accurate. It's amazingly accurate. It's comfortable. And it's got some other features, too. If you go onto the Facebook page, you'll see I already put up some pictures of the watches on display and then the app on the phone. It comes with an app you can use. It's great for tracking stuff like running, tracks your everyday, your activities, your calories burned. This is something that I really like. And it's something I use it in conjunction with my Garmin. I turn it on and run both programs, and I do the comparison to see how accurate, how close they both are. Heart rate is almost, I mean, it is hospital level, EKG level quality. And this is going back to the technology that is in the laser helmets from LifeBeam. This is that optical sensor they're using. So far, so good. I love the feel of the watch. It sits in place. It doesn't move around. I'm not a I don't like wearing watches during rides. However, just being able to get that strap off my chest and get it somewhere else and still have accurate heart rate is it's amazing. I'm all for the watch. And like I said, actually, it's kind of nice sometimes. I can look at my time, you know, and have a watch on. And sometimes it's nice to do. And like I said, it stays put. So far, it's gone through high heat, lots of sweat. The one thing I have noticed is that unlike a chest strap, you will have to charge this a few more times. But it's very, you know, you're going to have to charge it, basically. It is an item that's, you know, using power, has a battery in it. Quick charge, though. You just plug it into USB. One nice thing I like about it, too, is you sync it to your phone, and it's a backup, backs up your activity. It stores it in the phone. And you can take a look at it on your phone as well. So one thing it doesn't do yet, and I'm sure they may work on it. We're not sure or not. They've got to, you know, deal with it. But if you're a Strava person, the Mile app doesn't directly sync with Strava. However, the device does. The device uses your Bluetooth technology from your phone, so it syncs with pretty much Apple, Samsung, all those phones with no problem. And if you're using Strava through your phone, this will synchronize the heart rate with that as well. So you can use your Strava phone app and get a heart rate using this device. So it's not a direct crossover of just like, okay, I'm just going to use my Mio device and my Mio device alone and just download straight to Strava. It doesn't happen that way. But you can definitely get the heart rate off of it. And then on your app on your phone, you can also track your own stuff. So, like I said, it works with your Garmin and it works standalone with your phone. And so far, accurate. And comfortable. Haven't gotten in the pool yet. But that's probably going to happen pretty soon here, the way our weather's been happening. Anyways, so definitely take a look at that, Mio Global. And going along with that line there, I've got so much from Interbike. But one of the things I needed to do is start talking about technology. The next item we're going to discuss, and we're going to probably do it next week because we're definitely running out of time this week, we've got Polar came out with a new device. Same thing. It's all about tracking your health. And, of course, the affordable power meter. Power meters are becoming more attainable. But before we get into that next week, I've got to do this. How many of you have a helmet that you love, but it just does not absorb the sweat? Okay, you love your helmet, don't want to wear a do-rag because it's too bloody hot, and you just, what can I do? You're going to love what I found. And let me tell you about these guys, because they were off in the boonies. They were buried in a corner. They were new. It was the first time there at Interbike, and they had that one device that you wish you had thought of. I swear, when I saw it, I go, God, why didn't I think of that? I'll let them fill you in on all the details.
Okay, day two, late in the day. I'm running out of gas, but I found something that's going to brighten up my spirits a little bit here. It's called the Sweat Buster, and I'm talking with Adrian, who I believe you're the brains behind this?
Yeah, I created this product a few years ago. I basically was developing some other safety equipment and just getting a lot of sweat in my eyes, and I saw a need for this. So I played around with a lot of different materials and tried different things, and I found that this microfiber was the best material to use for sweat absorption. So I went ahead and played with, you know, different designs and so forth, and came up with the Sweat Buster. And I'm, you know, proud to say it's made in USA. These are sown in Oakland, California. We use a Velcro brand Velcro. So, you know, when you take the Velcro on and off, many times it tends to break down. But this Velcro brand Velcro, super high quality. And our design, we have three layers in the top and two in the bottom. So it really tends to wick the sweat upwards. It kind of looks a little bulky at first, but if you actually press it together, you'll see it's not much wider than, you know, your standard foam pad. So just a simple product and works amazingly well for, you know, retaining the sweat and keeping it out of your glasses and the eyes.
Yeah, and just to clarify exactly where this goes, it goes right in the front of your helmet, where your normal pads are. You don't actually replace your pads. You just put this in there in place, you know, with them, or you can take them out. It's up to you on how you want to do that. But it fits right in there. It sits right up in the forehead and definitely absorbs. I mean, it looks like it's like a sponge on your forehead.
Yeah.
Nice thing is, doesn't block any helmet vents. It's low enough in that profile area there. Clean, real clean, smart, simple design. Sitting here thinking, God, I wish I should have thought of that.
That's so exactly it. You know, it comes out real easy for washing, too. I mean, this thing pulls out in a second. And that's what we kind of say, ride, sweat, wash, repeat. You know, so we want you to take this thing out and wash it. And, you know, so.
Now, the magic golden number is, what is our retail price and where can we get it?
These are $12.99, and you can get them directly from TraxFactory.com.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Adrian, for your time.
Absolutely, Robert. Thank you.
Okay. Too hard to move too many buttons at one time. If you take a look at Facebook, I just actually waiting for the pictures to load, TraxFactory.com, so you can find them. They're really cool sweatbands. And, you know, a lot of times you see these things and you go, man, is that really going to work? Is that really going to work? Is that really going to work? I put it in the first helmet ride. I was like, hey, I got no sweat in my eyes. What's up with that? So if you take a look on them now, their pictures are posted up on the Facebook page. But it's a really cool sweatband. It just fits in place of where your normal front helmet pads are. You just remove those and you stick into the Velcro. In my case, I didn't even have to use their stick-on Velcro. They used the one that was already in the helmet and stuck right in there and held it in place. And so far, so good. So far, I am just amazed at the sweat quality. I mean, just absorption. It's zero sweat. Head's not any hotter. And it's all good. So it's definitely a win-win-win-win on that one. So that was just such a great find. It was like I said, it was day two, and I was running out of gas. I was in a corner of the show, and I found them by accident. So it's just amazing, you know. When you go to those shows, you really got to kind of walk the outsides, because that's where a lot of stuff is that you just you don't know what you're gonna find. So, anyways, it's really been cool. So anyway, guys, everybody, it's time to bid farewell. I'm hearing that the 5 got a really, really hit hard up towards Castaic and the Grapevine. So please, 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 if you're heading that way, be very careful. Pictures I'm seeing on Facebook and on the news and from people in the situation is that it was a river flowing down the 5. So please be careful out there, you guys. We don't know what's going to come, and we'll see you next time. Oh, just a reminder, this is our last Thursday show. We are now going to move back to Mondays at, I'm going to say 4, but if I can get the show on about 3:30, I'm going to do it. But let's shoot for 4 Mondays, and promoters, product managers, PR guys, you want to get any info out in the air, just send me the info at raceandteach@gmail.com. And everybody be safe out there, and may the weather gods be good to you tonight. Drive safe. Take care. Bye.